And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my sermon this evening is What's Important About the Name of Jesus? Before I get into the meaning of the name of Jesus, I think it's important to consider the importance of any name. There are various reasons why parents carefully pick a good name for their child. Among some good reasons why parents thoughtfully pick a good name for their child is that the meaning of the name could help chart a child's course and character as the parents point out to the child the meaning of their name. And when the child is of age, they can aspire to live according to his or her namesake. My own name, Cedric, is an old English name, which means military leader. Interesting, since I was raised in the Mennonite church. Now, while I've never served in the military, while I was pursuing the pastoral ministry, I thought of the pastorate in terms of a spiritual warfare in which a military leader tries to rally the troops each and every Lord's Day to keep up the good work as I encourage you to persevere in faithfulness to the Lord. And so, to borrow a phrase from the Marine Corps, Semper Fi, forever faithful, forever loyal to the Lord Jesus. This evening, I want to focus on the importance of the name of Jesus from our New Testament reading, Matthew chapter 1. And actually, there's two names given in this passage. Number one, the name we're more familiar with, Jesus. And the second name, Emmanuel. I'll start with Emmanuel first. The name Emmanuel means God with us. For Matthew tells us in Matthew 1, 22 and 23, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. What Matthew is plainly telling us in the first chapter of this gospel is that in the coming of this child into the world, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, because Jesus is God. This child is both God and man. And what an awesome mystery and beautiful reality that this is. As my wife sung a minute ago, "When you have kissed the face of Jesus, you have kissed the face of God." Matthew in this text goes on to speak about how God came to be with us. Several times our text says succinctly that the conception of Jesus Christ came about by the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:18 states that before Mary and Joseph came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 1:20 it says, "And the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" Matthew 1, 24 and 25 tells us that Joseph took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. Both Christian theologians and Christian believers have commonly used the word incarnation to describe this act of God becoming human. The word incarnation means the union of divinity with humanity in Jesus Christ. And it comes from two Latin words, in, which means in, and carno, which means flesh. Put the two together and you have the compound word to be made flesh, or to come in flesh. C.S. Lewis, commenting on this, called the incarnation the grand miracle, upon which all other miracles of Christ rest. Let us never lose sight of this grand miracle, this act of God in which God became human as the Messiah was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin, as we confess in the Apostles and Nicene Creed. In the person of Jesus, God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became flesh and dwelt among us, as John 1:14 states. But notice, Jesus comes into the world not as we expect, but according to God's plan. The humble birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, reminds us that God has a different set of priorities than we do. For all too often, this world is awed and impressed with fame and fortune and impressive accomplishments. And yet, how does God come among us? He comes to be born of Mary in a manger, in a stable, in a small and insignificant town. The Christmas story takes place with this announcement to the angel that the coming of the Messiah is to be as he is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born in a manger. And so Christ comes among us as one who is humble. The story continues through the death threats of Herod during his young infancy and toddler years, and then much later on in his life, as he goes through the humiliating experience of his public execution. Is this what we would have expected of God? That God dies a criminal's death, worse, a capital criminal's death. And yet Jesus went through death that he might be victorious over death by his resurrection, of which his empty tomb is an all-powerful sign. This Advent and Christmas, we celebrate anew the incarnation of our Lord Jesus, that God became flesh. He took on humanity to himself, including taking on a bodily existence, with all the humility that went with that. God the Son had a diaper. God the Son had to learn to count. God the Son had to wait on things just like you and I do. God the Son had siblings, and he had family conflicts, yet without sin. God humbled himself and took on human form. And not only took on human form, but went through the most humiliating experiences, even death on a cross. His birth was in the flesh, his death was in the flesh, and his resurrection was also in the flesh. And he was exalted at his ascension to the right hand of the Father, yes, with a glorified body. The gospel of Jesus is a gospel about this announcement of incarnation, about God becoming human. It's an announcement of good news which has at its very foundation a message that God became flesh and remains flesh and dwelt among us. Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension are all about God coming into our midst in incarnational form and reality. And this reality of Christ coming among us and becoming human is the hinge upon which our salvation rests. The truth of Christ as God and man and his redemptive love for us are the truths written in Scripture. They are the truths which the apostles proclaimed. They are the truths which the church held fast to and believed. The truths for which the martyrs died and still die, and the gospel which we also believe and proclaim. God became flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel. Now we come to this second name, the name that we are more familiar with, Jesus. The name Jesus reveals why God came to be with us. Jesus is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua, Yehoshua, which means Jehovah, our salvation. Through Joshua's ministry in the Old Testament, the people of God entered the promised land and claimed the land of Israel given to them by Almighty God. So Joshua, by the power and commandment of God, brought about the victory ordained by God for his people as they entered and captured the promised land, the land of Israel. The Lord Jesus, the new Joshua, brings about a much greater victory over the greatest enemy that humans have ever faced, our sin and our death. And our text clearly states in Matthew 1:21, where the angel announces to Joseph about this child, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The purpose of Christ coming among us is to save us and to forgive us and to deliver us from our sins. We're not told in any detail in Matthew 1 how this child will save us from our sins. We will have to wait for that later on in the Gospels as they reveal the redeeming death and resurrection of our Lord. But let us not rush into those details yet. That's for later on in the year, in Good Friday and Easter. But for now, let us focus on this great act of God coming among us to save us. For surely Christ's whole life is for our salvation. He lived some 30 years before he went to the cross, and his whole life was lived in perfect obedience to God the Father, which qualified him to suffer for our sins. And his life was a life of perfect righteousness, which merited our salvation as well. Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary for our salvation, to deliver us from our sins. He made his great entrance into our world untouched and unstained by the corruption of our first parents. So it makes sense that he was conceived in such a unique way. He was born of a woman, but not of a man and a woman. No, he was set apart from sinners to save us from sin and grief and death. And that's why he was born of a woman only, by God's mercy and grace. This is the message of Jesus Christ, that he is God with us who came down to save us from sin. This gospel shows us the identity of Jesus and the work of Jesus revealed in these two names, Emmanuel and Jesus. May we serve, praise, and worship Christ as he is revealed for us as Emmanuel and Jesus our Savior, the one who saves all his people from all their sins. Let us pray.